years now, you know, the big weeds I get calls on in my extension job have been horseweed by far and away, then Palmer pigweed, and lately, just the last year or two, actually 3 years, it's increasingly being giant ragweed. And in particular, two different counties, Lauderdale County, Tennessee, kind of a Bermuda Triangle between Henning and Ripley and Arp. There's a lot in a lot of those fields, and then up in Lake County as well. And just really, growers and consultants really struggling trying to manage this weed in basically all the crops, but particularly cotton and soybeans. One thing, you know, just observing what we're seeing in those counties, though, is, you know, giant ragweed, kind of like horseweed was, is a ditch weed. It's always kind of been confined to the ditches, never been a big issue. Nobody really thinks much about it. But in these particular areas, it's creeping out into the field, and I don't really think growers are paying a lot of mind to it. And they're just managing it like they just manage everything else. You know, they're just hitting it with Roundup, and that's just not having the best success. We're just increasingly see it just scattering out into the fields, and it's getting to be more and more evident every year. And when they just try and manage it with Roundup, we're not having very good success. Particularly on those field edges, it'll get drug out there, and in cotton, they'll hit it with two shots of Roundup up to the fifth leaf on cotton. And they're not getting real good control. And pretty soon, they have it pretty much across the field. They're really in a tight spot then. I'm going to fast forward this picture to the fall. That's what that field looked like. After a couple shots of Roundup and then dragging a hood through it with Ignite. There was some cotton in there, but not much. Is it Roundup resistant? Is it glyphosate resistant? And that's a good question. This particular giant ragweed you see here had 40 ounces of original max on it at 2-inch size. That's what the grower put on it. He called us in because it really didn't make much of an effect on it. And then I sprayed it with 88 ounces of weather max. When it was 6 inches tall, it kept growing. I hit it with another 88 ounces at 18 inches tall. And I can tell you it got head high. It went to seed, and we collected the seed off of it. And Jason Norsworthy, he's screening it for us against some Arkansas populations just to see how sensitive it is to glyphosate. So I'm going to be interested when we get those results back. I guess I struggle a little bit getting my arms around, is it resistant or is it tolerant? If you look at just our long-term data on weed control with glyphosate on giant ragweed, it's never been all that stellar. You look at the years of data we had, on Roundup, on giant ragweed, that's in our weed control manual, and it's rated to 6 on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being complete control. So on glyphosate's best day, good coverage, giant ragweed's growing real well, everything's lining up just right, you're only going to get about 60% control if it gets above 3 or 4 inches tall. And a lot of Tom Mueller and Bob Hayes, they spent years putting data on or getting that data together, and I really struggle if we're looking at resistance or we're looking at tolerance here. But regardless, as far as the farmer's concerned, we're not controlling it. The other thing that's really interesting to me is the biology. I've worked a lot with the pigweeds and looked at the biology of it and all the genetic diversity you see with the pigweeds. But you also see a lot of genetic diversity with this giant ragweed we're currently running into. You have these five-lobed biotypes out there, you have three-lobe biotypes out there, and you have these strange ones that really don't have any lobes on the leaves until they start to get a little size, and they get up to three-lobe. The other thing that's really interesting, this goes back, I know Andy Kindig was in here, but Barry Sims did a lot of work on giant ragweed 20 years ago on soybeans, and pretty much if you could take out that first flush early on, you were good. But it looks to me like this biotype, and you can kind of see it in the picture, we got things that have been emerged for 5-6 weeks, and we have things that just emerged. So it looks like we're seeing a longer window of emergence with this biotype than maybe what we have been used to. So one of the more recent calls we got, Chris and I, we got a call from a grower, and he had cotton in it last year, giant ragweed took it, he was going to plant corn this year. At the 11th hour, he clutched on it and decided to go ahead and plant cotton. He called us out there, and this is what it looked like. He already had 40 ounces of Roundup on that field. Didn't make much of an effect, and he wanted a recommendation. I asked him if he had a disc. He said he did, and that's what he ended up doing. So 40 ounces of Roundup and a disc was his burn down. He left us a patch or two to play with, and that's what we did our studies on. So we had just kind of two objectives, really. One was to evaluate several pre-applied herbicides for giant ragweed control, and we looked at different combinations of these herbicides, Caprol, Cotteran Direx, and Staple just straight, and then we looked at mixing Staple in with the Direx, the Cotteran, and the Caprol. And then later on, we wanted to determine if Invoke and Staple applied over the top could help us on managing this weed, because we're really looking for some suggestions here. And in fact, this grower has kind of really challenged us. He wanted us to come up with something that would control it, because he's wanting to plant cotton. Just some of the particulars. It was a randomized complete block of four replications. Herbicides applied to the CO2 sprayer, 10 gallons per acre. Applications were made just shortly after planting. We went out and rated them 7, 21, and 14 days after planting. And again, our objective was to see if these pre-applied herbicides could get us good giant ragweed control. And the answer was no. Not in 2007. I think, you know, the last day or two we've seen where everybody's looked at pre-applied herbicides and none of them work because we can't get them activated. And that's what we had here. It was a disaster. I'm really hoping next year where we can get some activation on them with some rainfall, maybe we can get some data. But we just had no luck at all with any of these pre's. That's why I'm going to spare you just throwing up some data with a bunch of zeros. Just show you the picture. The other objective, and this is my last hope with this grower, was to determine if Invoke and Staple applied post-emergence could help provide giant ragweed control. And again, a very similar format, randomized complete block, CO2 charge sprayer, applications were made. The grower made his applications on the first and fourth node with Roundup Original Max, with 22 ounces of Omax, Omax. I put the post applications on the Invoke and Staple in June 1, and it was about seven node cotton, somewhere in that range. The grower came back with a hooded application of Ignite, at the end of the month. And just real quick, this is kind of how they shook out. I looked at the real high rate of Staple that we're kind of looking at, the 3.8 ounce rate. I was hoping if anywhere it would give us a good boost, it would be here. And we also looked at Invoke at 0.15 ounces. They gave a similar control, around 60 to 70% control. This is what the Staple looked like at the 3.8 ounce rate about 2 weeks after application. It killed some of them. It stunted a lot of them, turned them yellow, very similar to what Invoke would do, and it really held them up. And it was a lot better than what we surely were getting with the pre's. So kind of a summary on that, Invoke and Staple provided 60 to 70% control. It really wasn't enough in and of itself. So, and this was, the grower was going to run a hood over it anyway with Ignite, and we wonder if that would help out. If we could get some separation in height, kind of like we do with horseweed with Invoke, and we'd do better with our hooded applications. And indeed we did, and this was kind of my saving grace that we had something that would control it. But this was the Invoke application over the top followed by the hood. Now we had, if you look in that picture, we had a few escapes within the row, but it took out the middles very nicely. And that's the thing I've seen with the Ignite over the top on giant ragweed. It's terrific if it's hot. It's just a terrific application. This is a hooded application here. Just to kind of give you an idea of what we did, this is the clean part of the field there is Invoke, and then the hooded application. That backdrop there is cotton in there, but that's just Roundup over the top, and that's the hooded application ran through there, but the Invoke did not. So it was just a night and day startling difference of what we got with it. So kind of summary of the timings, Invoke and Staple provided enough giant ragweed suppression to allow better control when we ran a hood through it. Ignite in a midsummer application can provide very effective giant ragweed post-direct or really over the top of Liberty Link varieties. But one of the holdups on that, this is Chris Main's data here on our county standardized test on cotton. If you look at those yields there, the top yielding varieties in the state, we don't have a Liberty Link variety in there currently. They're more down towards the lower end of the scale. The loan value is a little better, but the yield isn't. Now, it looks like with some of the technology we're seeing coming online, that Liberty Link trait's going to be in a lot of cotton here shortly, and that could really be a big help for us as we go forward trying to manage this weed. So looking at giant ragweed management, this is what I tell the growers first and foremost, contain it at the field edges. We still got a lot of it where it's just still kind of creeping in. You know, knock it back there. It's the most cost-effective way to do it. It's staple and invo can help control giant ragweed, and that's my current recommendation. Hit it with one of those, and then you're going to have to come back with night under the post-direct or if you happen to have a Liberty Link variety over the top. So with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir. Yeah, the question, Keith, was it tank mixed with glyphosate? It was not. They were put on separately. Yeah, whether the, the question just, would we see an added effect if we tank mix glyphosate with Invoke or Staple? I think we probably would. I haven't had a chance to look at it, and that's something Chris and I are kind of brainstorming, going to put protocols hopefully out in this field next year. That's the plan, and those are some treatments we want to look at. Yes, Jason. Question on the segregation for glyphosate resistance on this ragweed. Just what I saw in the field this year, I can't say that I think it is. So much of it just looks so bulletproof, I couldn't kill it, period. So I don't know if this year is an artifact, because we had an awful dry year, and we get wound up in a little bit better growing conditions, maybe we'll do a little better job controlling it. But I can't really say if it was segregating or not. James. Question on whether we've seen any seed head suppression, and I think we were. I can't say I got data to say, we counted seeds out of each, whether it was treated and untreated, but just looking at the seed heads, I think we probably did. They just held it back enough. The reason I was really hoping on Staple and Invoke, if you look at the stuff Barry Sims did 20 years ago, the best thing he had was Canopy and Scepter for giant ragweed and soybean. And it looks like the ALS inhibitors are about our go-to thing now. They're not bulletproof, but they're sure better than what we have to offer growers right now. Thank you all.